time to talk soccer on Community Radio Kilkenny City with Offside Soccer, brought to you by TRP Hebron Industrial Estate Kilkenny.
Hello and you're welcome to Offside Soccer on Community Radio Kilkenny City. We've got plenty to talk about tonight as always. We've got a preview to discuss in relation to the Shield final. And of course we're going to be talking everything Premier League in terms of the results of last weekend. And then of course previewing next week's fixtures as well. You can get us on text line 086 353 7782. That's 086 353 7782. Sponsored by Taxback, a Clune Tech company. You can also get us on WhatsApp 087 401 887. We nearly have a full squad tonight. Bar Scott is with us, as always. Good to see you, Bar.
Just about.
And Quive, how are you?
That's about. The other lads off sunning themselves.
The others off. Yeah. So I think was it Long Island iced teas he was talking about, maybe, or something like that. Anyway, enjoying himself either way. But we'll talk about all things local football first, as always, guys. We've got on the line with us Gary Maher, manager of Evergreen, and obviously Evergreen. Into the Shield final on the weekend against Booters. Big game out in Thomastown at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. How are you keeping, Gary?
Not too bad, thanks, lads. And yourself?
All good, all good. Big game on the weekend for you. Looking forward to it, I presume, as always, against Booters, the local rivals. How's the preparation been going for you the last couple of weeks?
It's probably a bit strange this year coming into the final that we only played the semi-final last weekend. We've had the disappointment over the last couple of weeks. We fell short in the outside competitions, but we put a lot of energy into there over a 6-week period. So from that point of view, it was disappointing for us. Finished out for us. So we had a great few weeks, some exciting times with some great opponents to play. But all in all, we're going into the final in decent form. We obviously lost a few lads to extra balls match 2 weeks ago, but we have a clean bill of health going into the match on Sunday. So all in all, we're happy with where we are at this stage going into a final. But it's, look, Marsh is where we want to be. We lost out and went to a final last year. We were betting the first round by the Booters last year, so they went on to win it. So we were knocked out of the competition early, so we're really excited about the prospect of trying to go back one further this year in the Marsh Shield, because we haven't won it for the last 2 years.
Yeah, of course, and obviously you mentioned there talking, you know, about challenging on all fronts, you know, only up until a couple of weeks ago, and you know, has it had an effect on the squad in terms of, you know, obviously you've got a very good squad there, and there's good depth in it as well. Is it something that you maybe have to prioritise when you're in so many competitions, or, you know, I suppose from a player standpoint, you're probably just happy to be playing week in, week out.
Yeah, the players were delighted to be playing week in, week out. Because with the Leinster Senior Cup, you know, it was great for us to get to that stage. We end up playing a lot of midweek matches, and the amount of matches we played in 6 weeks, if you're honest, look, you don't be looking for excuses, you're looking for ways out, but it probably cost us ultimately in the last round of the Leinster Junior Cup on the day. Where extra balls were the better team, so we've no excuse on the day. They were definitely the better team. They were hungrier than us. We were just flat, and all the matches we played up that point probably took its toll on us, and we did end up with it. Didn't get our best team on the pitch. We had a number of niggles and knocks, and that's just the way it fell on the day, unfortunately. But prioritising, look, we're back to where we are now. We're back to local stuff. Look, it's exciting times and exciting running in the Premier Division that we're in. Obviously, we've games in hand to catch up on the freeboards, but at the moment we've gone through a round in the McCallum Cup. We have to play a round of that in a couple of weeks again, and we are obviously looking really forward to this weekend. Like, anytime you play freeboards, you know yourself, Jack, you've played them a number of times. It's a really exciting game to be a part of, and when you look at the matches and the fixtures and the clubs locally, it's the game that everyone that's involved in junior soccer wants to be involved in Kilkenny, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gary, look, you've got plenty of experience in your squad. You know, a lot of players there have been there and done it down through the years. You know, names like, I suppose, Jamie Owens springs up there, and Chris Worthy, and these kind of guys. You know, the balance between maybe breading some of the younger players in along with that experience surely is something you're very happy with over the last few seasons.
Definitely. Look, the boys are top lads. You know, you know yourself, they've been around this dressing for years. The medal hall that them lads have that you mentioned there is just, we've never been heard of before, the amount of medals that they have. And look, even just to mention Jamie's had a new lease of life this year. He's come in, he's probably played a lot more this years, and up to last week in the semi-final, and see the goal, he got the second goal, the crucial goal that probably took the game away from Dean Celtic last week. Was a fantastic goal, Jamie got it. But yeah, and they're great around the dressing, they're great with the younger players, the experience they have to be able to talk them through big moments and big occasions during the season. So yeah, they're fantastic lads to have in your group. You can't buy that experience now. It's different now with some of the young lads that are, I suppose, they're looking for probably harder to manage at times this way. They're not built like they used to be, you know, and the drive that the lads have to compete every year in, year out at junior level, it's top class, and you can't get that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, Gary, you know, finally a change of venue for a Shield final in relation to it being playing in Thomastown now. Obviously they've got a lovely setup out there with their new Astro. Ye, as a club, have obviously led the way with AstroTurf. You've got it, you know, for a number of years out there. So, like, probably a personal question from my standpoint, wondering, is there ever really a preference of, you know, playing on the Astro? And obviously you've got a lovely setup with grass pitches out there, or does it really come into the build up to the game and how you prepare for it?
Look, I wouldn't say it comes into the game. I wouldn't say it comes into the preparation. I think, like, we tried this year to play as much as we could on grass, as much as we possibly could this year. It was just a preference that we had, in the sense that we found our grass pitch just to be a bit bigger, a bit for the style of football we wanted to play this year. Sounded better, and that's what we wanted to do. But again, like, different games, different types of games, different scenarios. You might think we might be taking it better than that team. We might be able to pull them apart a bit quicker on it. They move the ball a bit quicker. Other things, the grass game can be a little bit slower. But I think everyone nowadays, there used to be an advantage when we probably done our first Astro a number of years ago. Probably an advantage not everyone had an Astro, but now everyone is training on Astros. Everyone's playing some kind of games on Astros every couple of weeks. So I wouldn't say it has as much of a bearing as what I would have had probably in years gone by. But it's a change of venue. It's exciting to go there. A big match in Thomastown's new AstroTurf pitch. It's a great venue. It's a great place for a match. It'll probably even bring out some of the locals down there to watch it. So, to answer your question, I don't think it'll have much of a bearing. And I think both teams are well suited to playing on Astro pitches at this stage, and it'll probably add to a better game this time of year. Something to pitches, a lot of rain that fell over last couple of weeks there, probably grass pitches might be a bit heavy, so it'll probably add to a better game, a better type, better quality of ball on the night.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, look, we wish you all the best of luck. Thanks for joining as always. I'll be out there watching myself on the weekend, so best of luck to you, and hope you get on well.
Thanks very much, lads. Chat to you soon.
Thanks a million, Gary. Yeah, that was Gary Maher, guys. For anyone who's wondering, that is in preparation for the Shield final, which will be played at 7 o'clock on Saturday night out in Thomastown. Obviously, they've got a lovely brand new setup out there as well. Just to run through some of the results of last weekend as well within the local stuff, obviously, we've got not an awful lot of actual games to get through, but if we're talking about, I suppose, the junior setup, obviously we were talking to Gary Maher there. Evergreen did beat Dean Celtic 6-1 in the Pat Maher Shield semi-final. That was in the Kells Road again on Saturday night. You know, probably a bit of a gulf in quality there. Obviously, Dean Celtic have been doing very well in the league, however, this season, and they'll be delighted with the season they're having. On Saturday then as well, there was one game in the St. Canice's Credit Union Premier Division. Freebooters equaled Evergreen's result, albeit they were playing in the league. They beat Clover 6-1 in the Fair Green. Again, you know, Clover are... Yeah, it's looking a little bit ominous for them at this stage of the season. They're second from bottom, 4 points adrift from I suppose a relegation battle, but obviously Booter's shown, you know, the golfing quality there. There was one game on Saturday as well in the Division 2 Emerald Tiles League. Highview B played Spa United going away from home there and actually putting 7 past Highview B down in Greg the Manor, which is a great result for them. Moving on to Sunday, guys, and there was one game as well in the Canice's Credit Union. Bridge United and Callan United played out a huge 4-4 draw in Bridge United. Borra, I'll go to you.
I didn't have it in the goal.
No. Is that down to good defence or good attacking?
A mixture of both.
That must have been the one Expor didn't have.
Yeah, well, believe it. In the Division 1 League, guys, we had Armagh Villa taking on Lions. Obviously, Armagh Villa having a very good season, and they've got some games to make up in terms of, you know, games in hand that they have, and they did get a result against Lions 2-1, which is a very good result for them. Obviously, that's a league where, you know, there's a number of teams that are going for automatic promotion, probably going to be in second place behind Evergreen B, who look to be the runaway leaders there. But Armagh Villa getting their games in hand and turning them into points on the board, a really, really positive result for them. That moves them up into 4 Sport. They've actually got four games in hand on Lions, who are in second at the moment and only 4 points ahead of them. So great result for them. Division 2 was where we've seen the majority of the games being played. New Park had a 4-0 win against Castle Warren B. That was a good home win for New Park. They maintained a good run, and again they're trying to get that second place in the Division 2 after the league has been split. Stonyford and East End, again this was a big, I suppose, fixture in relation to that race for second place in Division 2. Stonyford, I suppose, we're going into the game maybe as slight favourites given their home advantage, but I suppose East End will be delighted. They come away with a 2-2 draw there, and points are shared. It does leave Stonyford in third place with East End right behind them in fourth. They do have a game in hand, and there's only a point between both teams, so a very close fought game there. Lions B won 4-0 to Tullerone B. Obviously that was in the lower half of the league since the league has been split. Tullerone B obviously have put in a brand new team there since that league has been split, so they're yet to pick up any points. St. John's and Evergreen 46 share the spoils as well. That was a 3-3 draw, so lots of goals in that one as well. Again, you know, St. John's and Evergreen 46 are looking at, you know, the lower end of the first division table there as well, so it's probably a case of just getting their fixtures done and dusted now for the remainder of the season. Dean Celtic B at home to Thomastown B. Thomastown B came out with all 3 points there with a 3-2 win. In the women's, St. Canice's Credit Union, Evergreen FC 2 beat Lions AFC 4-1, and New Park AFC lost out narrowly at home to East End United. In the Leinster Junior Cup, the Leinster Junior Plate, obviously Freeburg was at that big game against Malahide under 21s away from home and came away with a 1-0 victory there, so very positive result for them. Obviously you're going into them games not knowing, when you're playing against under 21 teams, you know, what way they're going to set up, but a very positive result for them, and I think that puts them into the quarter final or semi final. I think so.
Jim was already hopeful that they might actually win that.
They've got a good chance in it, but again it's you know, when teams in lower divisions, that like Booters for example, they had to drop down a league because you know, obviously what's going on at the club, but you can only, I suppose, play and beat who's in front of you, so best of luck with for them and that. And finally, the Leinster Women's Junior Shield, St. John Bosco beat Thomastown 3-2, so a disappointment for them. When we're looking at the fixtures coming up, guys, for the upcoming week, on Friday we've got one game in the league. Lions take on Armagh Villa, so again that's a reverse fixture of last week's one as well, so Lions will be looking to get some payback in relation to last week's result. In relation to the Division 2 games, we've got Highview B playing Lions B. That's the only game we've got on the Friday night there for that. Moving on then, we've got obviously the Junior Pat Marr Shield final, which we spoke about already. Evergreen Freeburg, 7 o'clock in Thomastown. And then moving on to Sunday, I've got too many pages printed out here. Moving on to Sunday, we've got two games in the Division 1. We've got Tullerone take on Evergreen B in Tullerone. Castle Warren Celtic, they will take on Evergreen A at home. They're obviously looking to continue to push for that automatic promotion spot in second place as well. And as always, the majority of the games are being played in the Division 2 league. Freebooters B will take on Evergreen 46 in the Fair Green at 11 o'clock. We've got East End playing New Park, which is a big game there. Obviously both of them teams are looking for automatic promotion, so New Park will be going away from home and East End will be looking to make home advantage count. Again, 11 o'clock in Bennis Bridge. Dean Celtic B take on Tullerone B, and we've got St. John's taking on Castle Warren B in Garran Green as well. That wraps up all the fixtures for the upcoming week as well, guys. I think I'll say what Jim says and we'll go pay a few bills. I don't know what else to say when it comes to the ad break, but when we come back, we'll look back at all of the Premier League fixtures for the week on and preview next week's fixtures as well.
TRP, your one-stop shop for all TRP products and DAF parts. Proudly bringing you Offside Soccer on 88.7 FM. Annie here from TRP Kilkenny. We are delighted to team up with Offside Soccer on Community Radio Kilkenny City.
And you're welcome back to part two of Offside Soccer, your weekly soccer show on Community Radio Kilkenny City. Just to give out the text lines again, we've got our text is 086-353-7782, which is sponsored by taxback.com, a Clune Tech company. And you can also get us on WhatsApp, 087-4011-887. I'm delighted to say we've got Seanny Doyle on the line with us. Obviously, we're previewing the Shield final on Sunday. Seanny, how are you keeping?
Good, Jack, good. Sorry about that, me phone. I had a bit of a problem with me phone earlier on.
Not a problem. Seanny, we'll jump straight into it. Obviously, look, a big game on the weekend. Evergreen coming up, the local rivalry, as you know, like we were saying with Gary a few minutes ago. How's the preparation going? Obviously, you've had a disappointing result a couple of weeks ago in the Leinster Junior, but bounced back strong the week after.
Yeah, we were disappointed to go out with Leinster and the FAI early enough. But since then, we've been on a good vein of form. We obviously beat Armagh Villa in the Shield semi-final. Like Gary said, it's unusual to be playing it so quick after a semi-final. And we had Clover Saturday night, which was a good win. To be honest, I don't know how Clover are where they are. I thought they were very, very good Saturday night. It's just we played well on the night. But yeah, look, looking forward to Saturday night now. These games will be great to be involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. And Seanny, look, you've got a lot of, I suppose, youth within the squad, and look, there's not a shortage of experience here. Obviously, you've got Ricey is still there, and I believe you're after losing out. Gary Breen has gone back to the north. But how do you find it? You know, that balance between youth, and obviously, I asked a similar thing to Gary about maybe the older guys that have been there for long periods of time. How are the young lads settling in and you know, taking to it?
I actually, Gary made a great comment there. They're not the same. The young lads are not the same anymore, Jack, as they used to be. A young lad coming from the youth team now wants to be playing straight away in any position, no matter who's there, let it be Emmett Nugent or Racy or whoever, they want to be in the team, and they don't hang around too long if they're not getting games, which is difficult to manage. But to be fair, Jack, these lads are our youths. The likes of Jamie and all are our youths 2 or 3 years now. So we've only really Billy Wall Saturday night, who would be from last year's U team. The rest are all 20, 21, a good age, you know.
Yeah.
But they're very settled into junior football at the moment. But as Gary said, the players are not what they used to be.
Absolutely.
Their attitude, you know, it's not what they used to be.
Yeah, and in terms of the season in general, Seanny, I know you had a few injuries, you know, early on in the season. Emmett Nugent, Jim Ryan was out for a long time, and you're starting to get some of these players back. It's surely a boost for you going into big games like this.
Oh, it is, Jack. I tell you, Jack, I was only thinking about it when you texted me today. If this game had to be last week or 2 weeks ago, I would have been worried, because we had 3 away working and 1 injured. And we went to our last few games with 13 and 14 of a squad. And that wouldn't be good enough to beat Evergreen. But thankfully, the boys are back from work, and Emmett is back from injuries. So we should have all them fit and available for Saturday night. So we'll be as strong as we can be. Obviously, we lost Gary, but that was through personal circumstances.
Yeah.
He went back up. But look, these games take on a life of their own, as you know. You played enough on both sides.
Absolutely.
These take on a life of themselves, these games.
Yeah, and in relation to the venue then, finally, Seanny, obviously, you know, the brilliant setup out there in Thomastown now. You know, obviously, Booters have got a lovely setup there now with the new Astro. How have you found the transition playing, you know, to the new surface, considering, you know, obviously the Fairgreen is always, you know, the grass, and now you're going on to the Astro week in, week out. How's that been for you?
I tell you, Jack, when we're at home, it's brilliant. But when we go away, it does take us a few minutes to adapt. It could take us 10, 15 minutes to adapt to the grass, because there is a difference. Now, look, I'm a grass man myself. I would always prefer it. But it's the way it's going, Jack, and I would foresee in 2 years' time, 99% of the clubs in Kilkenny will have AstroTurf. And that's the way it just... I think, Jack, it's all over Ireland. It's just the way with the weather.
Yeah, I think it has a massive part maybe to seeing the likes of a lot of the country clubs being able to use them, springing up in B teams and more players being able to play.
Yeah, it is, Jack. I followed Leinster Senior League there on an OLAP, and nearly all their games are on an Astro. Look, even summer soccer, the weather in Ireland is not brilliant. But it takes you a while to adapt to it when you get it. But when you get it, you definitely have an advantage if you're playing a team don't have one. But it was like Gary said, it won't have any bearing on Saturday because we both play on Astro.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Thomas Town Saturday, it's great to have it. Somewhere different. Under the lights, should be a big crowd. It's the only game on Saturday night, so hopefully be a big crowd.
Absolutely, absolutely. But Shawnee, look, we wish you all the best. Obviously, you know, I'm shouting for, but we wish you all the best anyway, and hope you do well down there, and best luck for the game on Saturday.
Brilliant, Jack. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Shawnee. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care. That was Shawnee Dye, guys. Again, one last time, the Shield Final will be played on Saturday night out in Thomastown on their new Astro out there between Evergreen and Freebooters. But we'll move it on, guys, and talk about the Premier League, and I'll let someone else talk for a few minutes. We've got, an awful lot of fixtures on the weekend and some good ones. Obviously, I don't think we can start anywhere else but with Liverpool and Man City, and what a brilliant game of football it was.
Terrific, yeah. I think it was probably the result that we all expected, a draw, but it was not the way I expected it. For to see, you know, Liverpool with 53% possession, Man City 47. I don't know whether any team have actually had more possession than City in the last 3 or 4 years. And I'd say Klopp, he would have settled for a draw before the match, but I think after the match he was a little disappointed that he didn't get the 3 points. Yeah. I know we had a controversial penalty incident towards the end. I know we had a bit of a chat about it, Jack, and we agreed. I'd like to hear what
I didn't hear the agreement. I thought it was a penalty. I mean, the boot was high, alright, he contacted the ball first, but if your boot is up there fairly near his neck, near his chest, you're looking at me like you're not agreeing with me now.
Well, I've got
the Man United fan channel, so I'll let Burr talk
what
about
we were saying is that when you see these incidents in slow motion, after they always look worse than they actually are. Now, Klopp said if it had been any other part of the pitch, it would have been a free, and he's probably right. But I just think, and I think Jack was of the same opinion, that it wasn't really a penalty. You know, it wasn't bad enough to be a penalty. I don't think he was putting the boot into the man, right? He just went to play the ball and your man came in and they connected. Now, I know Liverpool lads are probably shouting and wrong. I know my daughter is shouting at me anyway, that's for sure. But, I just thought, you know, funny enough, I was saying to myself, why didn't he go for it with his head? You know, he couldn't hit the ball
that
away.
That was the thing anyway, I thought was strange.
It was what it was. And I think it was a fair result overall.
Yeah, well, I was watching with an Arsenal fan, so he was screaming for the whistle to come fairly rapid. It was 8 minutes of injury time. So the Arsenal fans are going to be the happiest they would have.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it advantage Arsenal now, obviously, Keith, to go into... obviously after this game they're top of the table, albeit on goal difference, but it's in their hands now, you'd have to say.
It is, and we're going to have to now start looking at the run of fixtures right up to the end of the season, because it will play a part and who will have the harder run in. I know we said the last few weeks that like Arsenal maybe being the chasers might suit them better, that the pressure isn't on them, but so now that they have to switch that thought now that okay, we're in the lead, this is what we want, we need to hold on to it. But they're not showing signs of wavering. Do you know, there was one thing in the game I thought City, we spoke here lots of times about City not getting out of second gear. They didn't seem to in that game either, but in a negative way, because other games where they were in second gear, they didn't have to get over it and won games comfortably. In that game, there's something seemed to be lacking in it. Maybe in a way they were happy enough with the draw, but I just thought they were very. It was a very different City team than what we've seen in a lot of games.
Yeah, I agree with you, Keith. And then Mr. De Bruyne and Guardiola had a few words that to me it didn't look like all was right. You know, God only knows what the history of that was. Taken off the brain, he wasn't happy with it, and then, you know, to just end up 1-1, and after the match he had his arm around him and he was doing it.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Guardiola is down through his career he's never held on to anyone who went against him. He's got rid of them all. If you look at the likes of Yaya Toure, for example, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic at Barcelona, so it's going to be interesting to see that dynamic.
The thing on De Bruyne, I know probably he was looking maybe to shore it up a bit, bringing on Kovacic, but he's doing this a lot with De Bruyne to probably mind him.
Mind him, yeah.
And I mean, that doesn't bode well. He's the best midfielder in the world, but if he's only playing an hour a game this season, what to do next season? What to do the season after that? I mean, is he going to be that injury prone? What's going to happen to him in the next couple of seasons? Because
I City have always been, cutthroat when it comes to moving players on. Right, you're finished now, we'll get someone else.
The other side of it is too that Guardiola probably had his reasons, and as you explained there, Keith, in a way he's probably minding him. This run in is going to be fierce important. De Bruyne probably feels he's now 100% fit and wants to be playing all the time. And I will just mention, lads, the goal that City got, it was De Bruyne's quick thinking with that corner kick. I've seen it done before, but I haven't seen it that often. Yeah. Obviously, they had planned on this type of corner, and he did it to perfection. Mm. Perfect ball. Goalkeeper friend Mr. Keller was a bit unlucky, he didn't actually save it, but to come back to, I think maybe there was a reason for Guardiola, he's trying to mind him, I think.
Yeah, and your former player, Keith, got the winner for Arsenal on the weekend. Arteta seems to be able to get something out of this guy that no one else has been able to do, and I've been a big critic of Havertz, but he's putting in performances.
He is, all of a sudden. I mean, when he went to Arsenal and they paid 70 million for him, I was laughing, going, what did they watch? What did they watch at Chelsea?
Yeah.
Bar the Champions League winning goal. Outside of that, what else had he done at Chelsea to warrant paying 70 million for him? But Arteta has got something over him.
The other side of that is, he must have done something before he went to Chelsea, because they actually bought him.
Yeah.
Now, I think the fact that he's gotten a couple of goals has suddenly, he's a different man.
The pressure's off.
Yeah, that's the word. The pressure is off, and he's playing better than he's ever played. And I should also mention our Mr. Werner got a goal for
for Spurs as well.
All these ex-Chelsea players scoring goals.
They were terrible when they were with Chelsea. All of a sudden they're doing it.
But I borrow your right there with the pressure thing, because I suppose at Arsenal there's other lads providing the goals. When he was at Chelsea, everyone was looking at him to score the goals. Mm. But when you have the likes of Martinelli and Saka, and there's a few others, Odegaard, that will chip in, the pressure does come off a little bit. So and look, I had my problems with him playing with Chelsea, and that he didn't fulfil his potential. But in a way, I'm delighted to see him do it, because he is that player that had been the reason he went to Chelsea, and it's been talked about him as being a world class player and fulfilling that potential. I'd like to see him do it, because he has it in him
that's the thing. He's had a couple of good weeks. Let's see if he has a couple of good seasons, and then we can really judge him.
He's a happier looking man now with Arsenal. He's become really part of the team,
The early kickoff bar on Saturday was Manchester United and Everton, 2-0 win, quite a boring game.
More or less as you'd expect.
Yeah.
Two penalties.
Does it give you any hope for Manchester United in turning things around, or is it the same old?
I don't think. If it had been 2-0 and the goals came from play, I'd say maybe, but there's not. No, I have to be honest. I only saw a very brief piece of that match, so I can't really say, but I just don't think there's any chance of United getting into the top five. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll surprise me.
Yeah, I think the gap is probably too big. Yeah. You think Spurs have a game in hand as well, and if they win that, then it probably... But again, it's another 3 points. It's keeping it going. Again,
I think it would take a monumental collapse from two teams for United to get into that top four. I think as a Man United fan, trying to take positives out of it.
I think you would be. You wouldn't be right if you weren't.
No, exactly. Yeah. But I think we controlled the second half quite well. It wasn't pretty football, and I've been calling on United to control games more than they have done this season. We got two goals up now. If we hadn't got them two penalties, I don't know where the goals would have come from. But the fact that we did get them, I think United just slowed the game down, made it quite boring, and just got their 3 points. And I think that's what Ten Hag is probably looking at between now and the end of the season. Yeah. I'll take 3 points however I can get them, We'll move on, because obviously we're short in time, but the Monday night football, Keith, we'll go to you. 3-2 Chelsea Newcastle, right game in terms of goals, and Are you starting to maybe turn a corner, maybe at home a little bit, in terms of scoring goals at least anyway?
Yeah, well, like, I mean, Cole Palmer again showing how good of a player he is, and we talked about Havertz showing his potential. I mean, if this lad can live up to this, the sky's the limit for him. Mal Augusto again put in a great performance, but I mean, it was two teams playing one another who shouldn't be 10th and 11th in the league, really. Do you know, you think about, especially Newcastle after Champions League last year, yes, they've got an awful lot of injuries this season and it hasn't helped them at all, but look, we'll take 3 points anywhere we can get them. The talk is now starting again of, oh, maybe we could get into the Europa League. I think it's too far away. I know the likes of Brighton and other teams, West Ham, and teams that are around us aren't playing particularly well, but I still think there isn't enough in him to do it. I think
it would take a near perfect run in,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that's it. Pochettino's running out of time to do something like that. But again, look, a good performance. When you look at Newcastle, though, I mean, Eddie Howe must be feeling the pressure big time. Mm. I mean, it was £2 billion teams, pretty, you know, or a billionaire teams playing one another, and two teams that shouldn't be where they are in the league. But something's gone wrong for both of them. Newcastle need to turn it around fairly quickly to try and get themselves back, because as we said before, they need to improve the team, but to improve the team they're going to have to sell players. But if they're not in the Champions League again, they're not in European spots, that's going to get harder for them, even if they have loads and loads of money.
And Bird, speaking about Eddie Howe there, he kind of reminds me of Mark Hughes when he went to Man City. You know, don't be the first guy, be the second guy, in terms of, if you're going to push on and establish yourself, do you think there's any hope of him, you know, turning it around?
I think there's a danger that he will be the first guy and there will be a second guy, because he was the more worried after the match last night. You could see it written on his face that, you know, this is not good enough, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd say he was very disappointed. Chelsea, I have to say, surprised me, you know, scoring 3 goals and then one or two fair performances there last night. The problem is consistency. Yeah, yeah. That, you know, I tell you who I was impressed with last night, the goalkeeper.
Petrovic has shown he's playing really well.
Don't see the goalkeepers now coming and taking balls out there. They're inclined to punch now, but to see like catch the ball, which they should be doing. And I thought it was very good.
It automatically transmits confidence into the defence in front of you then as well.
Exactly.
Final game before we go to the ad break is Aston Villa versus Spurs, Keevan, and a massive 3 points, 4 goals scored for Spurs, and it puts them right back in the hunt. They've got a game in hand on Villa and they're only 2 points behind them. It's game on for that top four,
Rest. That wasn't a Villa type performance at all. It was strange. I mean, even like, say, John McGinn getting sent off, I mean, it was really reckless from him, something that you wouldn't normally see him doing. He's usually the kind of the cool head, as Morris said before, and the leader there in the middle of the park. So, but again, you know, it blows it wide open there. It's going to be big time between Spurs and Villa for that fourth spot. Look, it might not make a difference in the wind-up if Arsenal can turn over Porto and all these other results go their way, but there's going to be a hell of a battle for it over the next few weeks. Look, Spurs getting 4 goals, as you said. Timo Werner chipping in with one there as well. But even, because I caught the last 2 goals, caught Werner's goal and caught Son's goal. I thought even Son's goal, it looked easy.
Yeah.
There was no one really pressuring him, right? The game was probably over by then anyway. But it just, they passed it around him so handily, and it just didn't look like an Emery team.
Yeah. If I was to ask you, Werner, you can't put an X on this one. Who are you going with for the fourth spot? Would you go with Villa or would you go with Spurs at this point time?
I'd go with Spurs. Now, not because they won 4-0, but because Villa, you know, they've been great on occasions this season, but here and there amongst the greatness, they've been poor displays. Now, I know they had excuses last weekend, but still, it's disappointing. You know what I mean? When they're at home and everything, you say, oh, Villa will win this one, or I had it down for an X, but... I was very wrong on that, but I think I would just give Spurs the nod.
Right, we'll leave it there, guys. We'll go to an ad break, and when we come back we'll preview next week's games in the Premier League.
The team at TRP Kilkenny are delighted to team up with Kilkenny's number one soccer programme, Offside Soccer, only on Community Radio Kilkenny City. Time to talk soccer on Community Radio Kilkenny City with Offside Soccer, brought to you by TRP, Hebron Industrial Estate, Kilkenny.
Hello and you're welcome back to the final part of Offside Soccer on Community Radio Kilkenny City. One last time, the text numbers 086 353 7782, that's 086 353 7782, sponsored by Taxback, a Clune Tech company, and you can also get us on WhatsApp on 087 4011 887. So we'll preview the upcoming games on the weekend. We've got a mixture of league games and FA Cup games, and we'll go through them as they fall on my phone because I don't know what the times are. But we'll start with Burnley and Brentford. We'll get the quick ones out of the way. Obviously Burnley are doomed for the championship,
I think, next year. They're putting up a bit of a fight.
Yeah.
And the thing is that Brentford are kind of, I know that they did okay against Arsenal, but they've fallen flat a bit recently.
Yeah.
I think a draw.
A draw. Well, I mean, if you're talking about Brentford as well, Keith, I mean, like, they're not completely out of that relegation battle yet.
They're,
do you know what I mean?
No.
I think they're 5 points off, and I think Luton have actually got a game in hand on them, but they're going to have to be on it on the weekend.
Oh, big time, yeah. And I mean, Burnley, after getting the draw against West Ham, they'll be seeing that little bit of positivity. Look, things aren't too positive for them at the moment, but being back home, if they can back up that draw with even another draw or getting the full 3 points, I'd be probably more inclined to go along with Bor and say the draw. But Brentford needs something. It seems to be, ever since kind of Thomas Frank came out and pretty much said, look, Ivan Toney is going to be gone.
Because
Ivan Toney had said, I'm going to be here for the season and do my best. And then Thomas Frank pretty much was guaranteeing he is going to be gone.
Yeah, like surely behind the scenes you would be saying to him, no, go score goals and then we'll see in the summer, just to keep him on his toes.
Yeah.
You know?
Something seems to have changed. It's something, Brentford need to get it right, but they're probably hitting Burnley at the wrong time.
Yeah. Luton take on Nottingham Forest, another bottom of the table clash and a relegation battle. Obviously Luton, I think Luton are everybody's second team this season.
Luton are at home
against Forest. 3 o'clock kickoff. Obviously Luton, you know, have been doing, you know, okay. I don't think they've got a win in their last five. And Forest obviously have a win, you know, in their last game. Where are you going with this one?
A tough one. I think I just give Forest the nod here. You know, it's going to be a battle, but
but for even the last few games that Forest have been playing, that maybe they haven't been picking up results, have been playing some decent football. They're hard to beat.
But you could say the same really about Luton. I mean, they're kind of unlucky with a lot of the results while they've played well. But just as Luton are playing tomorrow as well, they're playing against Bournemouth tomorrow night.
I didn't see that.
It's because I just had a look, which was flashed up in front of me as well when I was looking. So that could play a lot, because that's two big games there for Luton. Yeah. I mean, Bournemouth aren't going great guns either.
No.
I'd be more inclined with Luton being at home. I think they could win that game. I know we had said before about the likes of that Luton seem to do better against the bigger teams. They like that underdog kind of thing, and they seem to struggle against the teams that are around them. But I think being at home, I think, I'll give Luton the nod.
I'll give Luton a nod as well, just because I want to see it more so. I'll let my heart rule my head. 5:30 kickoff then on Saturday. We've got Fulham at home to Spurs. We've got an all-London derby. Fulham may be disappointed with the result last weekend, but we've seen time and time again more this season that they're not the easiest team to turn over, and Spurs will have to be on their game.
They would have, and it's a derby as well. It's a London derby, but I think Spurs are on a high, and they'll be on just to be high enough to beat Fulham.
Yeah, and surely, Keith, with the amount of goals that they're scoring, you know, I mean, we spoke about Spurs before, about, you know, they can be hot and cold. I think they can be hot and cold within actual halves of a game, let alone maybe 3 or 4 games in a row, but you'd be expecting them surely to beat
Fulham. You would, yeah. I mean, you could see them outscoring Fulham big time. I mean, you could see Spurs scoring 3, I don't think you could see Fulham scoring 3 or 4, do you know, and against Spurs. I think I'd give Spurs the nod.
Moving on to Sunday then with the Premier League, we've got a 2 o'clock kickoff is the only game, obviously due to postponements with the FA Cup, and it's West Ham versus Aston Villa. And of course, I'll go to you on this one, Keith. You know, Villa have, you know, probably their tails between their legs after that result last weekend, and West Ham are not an easy prospect, especially at home. You know, they're going to have to turn it around if they want to keep the race for top four going.
Yeah, like, I mean, West Ham would be disappointed, as you said, they got that draw against Burnley, because you would have said, look, Burnley, as poor as they were, they probably would have gone into it thinking, we'll pick up 3 points here and move on, because their form has kind of turned around a bit in the last little while. Like Villa need to bounce back straight away. They can't let Spurs creep up on them. I think I would say Villa will bounce back. Emery will kind of have him right, because, and I think I saw it after that, they were talking about it after the Villa game, that Villa seem to, after they play a European game, things go a bit flat,
yeah,
and then they kind of lift it back up again. So I can see him doing the same here and beating West Ham.
Yeah, Burr, obviously.
Yeah, I'd agree with Keith. Like you said, they have to win.
Mm.
You know, if they lose again this week, they could be gone from the fourth spot. You know, I think they'll win. Now, West Ham are a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde. You know, one week they're this and the next week they're that. So, be tough enough, but I think I'll give them the nod.
Yeah, I go with Villa in that one as well. Moving on to the FA Cup then. We've got the FA Cup quarterfinals coming up on the weekend. Some really good ties to look forward to. We'll start with the first one on Saturday, which is a 12:15 kickoff, Wolves and Coventry. I don't think there's too much debate maybe on that one.
Like, I'd be saying Wolves anyway.
Yeah, you'd like to see Wolves go for it. They're not in too much danger in the Premier League. Gary O'Neill has got some really good results out with his team. You know, get past Coventry, they'll start to believe that they could go all the way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, whatever about a third or a fourth round game for teams like Wolves, if you're in a quarter final, I mean, you're two games away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, I go with Wolves in that one as well. Interesting tie then on Saturday evening at 5:30 kickoff. We got Manchester City at home to Newcastle United. Keith, obviously Newcastle United are not having the best of seasons, but given how Man City are playing and, you know, like we've been saying before, they're not hitting top gear, I have a feeling for some reason that this is something that, this is a game that Newcastle could actually get something out of. I don't know,
because normally you'd say with these FA Cup games, you'd say City will probably put out maybe a second string squad and just whatever happens will happen. Mm. But City don't seem to be doing it. I think it was the last FA Cup game they played. I think like all the big guns played, Haaland played and De Bruyne played. He'll do the same again, and it is, I think I said it here before, still psychologically they're saying like Liverpool are in with a chance of winning everything else. We need to stop them doing that. And Guardiola will have him up for that. I just think City being at home, right, I know it's the FA Cup, depending on the teams I think to come out, but I think City are too good.
Yeah. Burr, what do you reckon?
It's a quarter final, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Newcastle tend to play better against the bigger teams.
I can see Eddie Howe having a serious chat with his players after last night. And he will be looking for some improvement in this game. He'll be looking for a big performance. And he'll probably get it. But I don't know if it'll be good enough. I think City, at home especially, will just have enough to edge past them.
Yeah, I think the sooner City go on the run that they always go on, you know, I think not that it's inevitable, but I think it's probably been left a little bit longer than we've all expected. Yeah. You know, they're continuing to stutter their way along, but obviously they've got so much quality, they continue to pick up points. Moving on to Sunday then, the third quarter final, obviously Keith, we'll go to you on this one, is Chelsea versus Leicester City, and a really tricky tie.
It is,
given how well Leicester are doing this season.
Yeah, well actually when the draw was made I was a bit more worried, because after especially struggling against Leeds, who are there right behind Leicester, but I think just Leicester's form the last couple of weeks in the league, they seem to be determined to let Leeds and Ipswich back in on top of them. Yeah. When a couple of weeks ago, it just looked like Leicester were going to canter to win the championship, and that was going to be it. But their form is dipping a little bit, so I would be a bit more positive about Chelsea's chances, because, same as we said about Wolves, they haven't got a whole lot to play for in the league and can go for it. Chelsea are the same here. There's nothing to go for in the league, and Pochettino will be going, if I don't win this FA Cup or at least get to the final of the FA Cup, I'm in big, big bother here. Because he needs something to put a bit of polish on this season. And Leicester as well, you know, if Leicester were still 7 or 8 points clear at the top of the table, they might say they could have a go at this game. But they're probably now kind of thinking, okay, maybe we need to reserve a little bit for the league games going forward with Leeds and Ipswich playing so well and catching them up. So I'm a bit more positive now than I was when the draw was made. I think it won't be an easy game, there's no doubt about that, but I could see Chelsea getting past them.
Yeah, but obviously with Leicester coming into this game, you know, for a championship side, it's a massive opportunity for them, you know, to put it up to Chelsea.
You must remember Leicester were my tip for the cup. Now, at the time I tipped them, they were playing brilliant stuff. They were playing as well as any team in the Premiership. That has changed. I'm sure they'll put up a fight. I just think maybe Chelsea might have too much for them. I hate saying it when I tip them, but I'd be satisfied with the semi-final.
Yeah. And into the final, and probably biggest game of the round, 3:30 on Sunday, is Manchester United versus Liverpool in the FA Cup. go easy on me now, lads. But Burr, I go to you. Obviously, look, Liverpool are in flying form. Manchester United, the opposite. A cup, I'm clutching at straws here, but a cup game.
It's Liverpool and Manchester United. It doesn't matter whether it's for the Premiership, for the FA Cup, for whatever. They'll go at one another hammering tongs. Mm. And even though Liverpool put up a great performance against City last Sunday, Klopp will still be fearing Manchester United. Because, you know, they just bring the best or the worst, whatever way you want to put it, out in one another. I say this is going to be very tight.
Mm.
Liverpool might edge it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went extra time and penalties.
Gabe,
that's just what I was going to say. I think it could be a draw on a draw in 90 minutes, but I could still see Liverpool coming out on top in the end of it. I mean, you saw it there against City, like they were thereabouts. They almost had one. Salah being back, Nunes being back as well. Like, it's just, I think there's that bit of quality that might be the extra that might get him past. But I think it'll be a tight game. I could see it being a draw in 90 minutes.
Oh, jeez, I take a draw in 90 minutes now, so I'm actually going to the game myself. But, yeah, look, like, from my own standpoint, I think, you know, you have to be realistic and say Liverpool are the favourites going into it.
But, oh, that's without question.
But I agree with what you say there, Burr, is that, you know, you're Old Trafford, you know, 3:30 on a Sunday, you know, against Liverpool in the FA Cup quarter final.
I just think with all those games, those big games for United, that Ten Hag's job is on the line.
Mm.
As far as I'm concerned, he's gone. He'll be there until the end of the season. But he can still rescue his job, you know, by turning things around. That won't be easy. Mm. But if they could get past Liverpool, he'd pick up a fair few brownie points, as Jim do say, for that, you know.
Yeah, just to add to that,
the fact that Salah is back, I meant to say that Keith said it. Salah is worth 10 players. Mm. That ball he gave Diaz last Sunday, he wasn't on the pitch that long. Except for yourself, Jack, and the score.
That's the way he didn't say I'd score it, Derek.
But do you reckon Ten Hag's time is coming to an end, or what does he need to do to keep his job?
I don't think so. No, I think they'll hold on to him. I mean, look, six in the table. And when you look at where, you know, the Spurs, right, okay, probably Villa are probably the unexpected ones that are there, but With the way, and I know you said it before, with the injuries, with the way the team is and getting players in, it hasn't been great the last few years. So to get what he's getting out of the players that he has, I think he's done pretty well with them. You know, even to be kind of ruthless, I mean, there's a lot of teams who they brought in, say Mason Mount. I know he's been injured for a while, but a lot of teams, if there was that amount of money spent on a player like that, they'd be nearly forcing them to play him.
Yeah.
But he's not. And he's playing players like McTominay and a couple of other lads who are deserving of their place a bit more. I think they'll hold on to him. Let him try and do something.
I hope he gets a bit of time under that new structure.
I think, Keith, that secretly you're a bit of a Manchester United.
I hope, from a personal standpoint, I hope he's given a bit of time under the new regime, under the structure of a football director and a. But I want to talk about the Champions League real quick, because we're running out of time. Obviously, we've got two games on tonight: Arsenal versus Porto. Arsenal going to the game, but a goal down on aggregate. Obviously, the away goal doesn't count.
I always say there's no bad teams in the Champions League.
Yeah.
They'll have it all to do. No, they might do it because, you know, they're in having a good run, shall we say. But they couldn't break him down in Portugal. Now, it's a different thing. There's Rome tonight, but it'll be tough.
Yeah, do you think they've taken their eye off the Champions League a little bit, Keith, maybe with how well they're doing in the league?
I don't know. I mean, like, with the away goal gone out with the Champions League now, we've seen seen it with some of the first legs in these games where they're just kind of petering out to nothing because, you know, other years, there was if you got a goal away from home, that was vital.
Yeah.
And players and teams were going at it to do that. But the first legs of games have just been nothing games, really. I could see Arsenal just overturning it and at their ease, I think, tonight.
At a canter, yeah. The other game tonight then is Barcelona versus Napoli. That is 1-1 on aggregate. Have you got...
It'll be a penalty shootout.
Penalty shootout. There we go. Keith?
Because I'm just having a quick look at the form of the two of them. It's very, very similar.
Yeah.
Barcelona being at home... You'd like to see Barcelona back where they haven't been for a long, long time.
And it's not the new camp, though. I think that's playing a big difference with them this year, because the new camp is under renovation, so they're actually playing in a smaller stadium.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I might just be, you know, give Barcelona the nod. I'd like to see him back where they belong.
Yeah, and going into tomorrow then, we've got two games again. We've got Atletico Madrid versus Inter Milan. Atletico at home, but Inter going to the game with a one-goal advantage, 1-0 from the first leg.
And they'll fight to hold on to it.
Do you think they will?
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah. Keith, what way do you go? Obviously, Simeone at home.
Yeah, Simeone knows how to get these results, and being at home, it's a hell of a place to go. I'll see there being goals in it. I just, you know, like, it's amazing when you think Inter Milan, they did it a couple of years where there seems to be a lot of misfits there, and he seems to be able to get results out. I couldn't believe it when I watched the game last week. Arnautovic playing at Inter Milan. I said, where the hell did this lad come out of? I haven't seen him for a long time. He's like, well, West Ham and all that. But he somehow gets results out. But I think, again, maybe being at home at Atletico Madrid, it's we've often said here about places being cauldrons. He could get it out of him. It's going to be a tough one, but yeah, I might maybe let it go.
And finally, Borussia Dortmund take on PSV. Borussia Dortmund are obviously at home, and it's a one all aggregate score going into it. You have a dog in the fight in that one, Burr, or
I think I go for the home.
I have a feeling this could be the one that could go to extra time and penalties.
Dortmund, we're talking about home. Dortmund, that yellow wall is a massive factor.
They're not
in
having
European
the greatest
football.
Seasons, I don't think, are they?
No, but it's
as long as Jadon Sancho doesn't score, I don't mind.
I think he scored his first goal there, I saw actually for him during the week. I think again it's the home factor, I think, could pay it for Dortmund.
Yeah. Brilliant. Lads, thanks a million. If Jim is listening, I hope
we may send him a picture of all these notes. Is Jim, may catch up here.
But thanks for listening as always, guys. Keith, who's up next?
Kevin Lefar.
Kevin Lefar is up next. Sorry, I'll learn that for the next time. But thanks for listening as always, guys. Have a good evening, and we'll see you next week.